The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. Pete Thamel joined us earlier. Roman Harper will be by as well. We will talk later in the show to Clark Lee, the Vanderbilt head coach, live from Hawaii. The Commodores get ready to play on week zero. That is Saturday night. Let's check in with Blair, who is up next. Hey, Blair.
Hey, Paul. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Did I misunderstand, or did the AC say that the first time he gets 48 calls in, he will completely quit calling for 2 weeks?
Yeah, and I don't think we make the rules here, not him. We don't need 48. How about one?
Hey, well, I want to be that first one, okay. And let's say goodbye for 2 weeks. I sit in the school parking lot every day picking up my youngest son from his school, and I had to listen to that guy for 90 seconds, and it's the worst 90 seconds of your program.
Hey, Blair, so, I don't play poker, but I will for the sake of argument. I will raise your 2 weeks and make it a year.
Hey, that's a deal.
Okay. You agree,
appreciate
Randy?
It, Paul. Yes.
By the way, Jim is not happy with you for
– that's okay.
Okay.
A lot of people don't like me.
Well, I-Man is up next.
Are we talking about the disgruntled one?
Yes.
The lifelong disgruntled one? You know, Paul, a friend of mine was up in Tuscaloosa, and he's going through an old hospital wing, and he found a box. And in that box, he found patient 54. And he was reading the papers, and it appeared that when the patient 54 found out at the age of 9 that he had athlete's foot, he was real proud because he thought he was pure natural-born athlete. Then he got mad and told everybody he got hurt when his mama had it cured. But one thing's for sure, he's had the longest-running case of jockey itch since 68 years. Have a great day.
Thank you. I'm in short and to the point today. We will continue with Carl in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Hey, Paul, first time call here, so I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
So I want to talk quickly about some Gamecock football. You know, we got Spencer Rattler in the helm, return Marshawn Lloyd looking healthier. I think we have the best duo tight end in the nation. We returned offensive line, a couple former five stars on the defensive line, and Cam Smith, preseason All-American, I think is just a baller. So that being said, one, do you think the game costs to make a little noise in the SEC this year? And two, do you like the direction that the program's heading under Shane Beamer?
Yeah, Carl, I think Beamer is phenomenal. And probably the most important thing I think he's done is he's really given South Carolina fans hope. And, I mean, Will Muschamp – what else can be said that hasn't already been said? He had his
right,
moments,
exactly.
But he didn't exactly promote wild and crazy enthusiasm. And that's what Beamer does. I mean, Beamer is not only a player's coach, but he's a student's coach. I mean, the students have really rallied around him, and that's critical. I'm not convinced that this team is going to be great this year, in spite of what you said, for the reason that I just think there's so many difficult games. I think South Carolina will beat some people, but I don't know if it can be sustainable through a 12-game season to win more than last year.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So, but I appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll have Roman in here in a minute. We'll get his thoughts as well. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And how about Jim? Not that one. This Jim is in Gainesville.
Good. Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, yesterday on your show, you got into a discussion with a fellow from Auburn, Alabama, and the conversation ended up taking a turn, and you guys were talking about notable, legendary college coaches who, you know, cut their teeth in Ohio. And I'm an Ohio guy, and, you know, last night I was kind of racking my brain, you know, just trying to come up with a list, and it really is pretty remarkable. The coaches. I mean, you can start out with, you know, you can start out with Urban Meyer, the Stoops brothers, Les Miles, Paul Dietzel, Gary Moeller, Lou Holtz, who I guess you saw recently,
yeah.
Bo and Woody, Ara Parsegian, Gary Pinkel, Tressel, John Shula, Paul Brown, Matt Campbell, Fickell, Don Nealon, legendary coach of West Virginia, Matt Eberflus, the Bears coach, Don Capers, who's knocked around in the NFL a lot. So it really is a remarkable list.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's a fascinating sub conversation. And, you know, but you would expect that, though. Ohio is an enormously large place. It's rich in tradition when it comes to sports. And but that is a phenomenal list. Of course, we talk about it all the time with, you know, Nick Saban, Gary Pinkle, and Jack Lambert all going to Kent State at the same time. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Robert in North Carolina, a state that has not produced a lot of great college head football coaches. Robert?
Hello.
Robert is stuck on Tobacco Road, not being able to communicate. That's a problem. It's only a problem if you're trying to talk on a radio show. Let's check in with David in Fort Worth. Hello, David.
Yes, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Question is, when Oklahoma and Texas switches to the SEC in a couple of years, will they continue playing in the Cotton Bowl, or will they go to a one home and home?
My sense, David, is that game will stay where it is. Just like the Florida-Georgia game, whether fans are excited or not, it's been in Jacksonville for as long as I can remember. The only time it wasn't was when they were renovating the old Gator Bowl what it is today, whatever it is. And I don't think you move that game right now. I know most things are moving away from neutral sites, and I've been on a couple of rants lately. I don't like these opening games in the season. I think Atlanta, Dallas, wherever the games are, they've gotten very stale. I'm much more excited about Alabama and Texas playing, or Utah and Florida playing on a home and home basis, as opposed to, you know, seeing another sterile atmosphere in Atlanta or somewhere else. I think that game will hold on. But it's really an important game, and even though it's in Texas, the Oklahoma people love it just as much as the Texas people. James is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, James.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
How you doing today?
James, we're doing great. Thank you for asking.
Good. Two things. The first one being, you're not being paid enough.
And by the way, you're really you're tugging at my heart right now by saying that.
Now, I have a quick question. Between Kentucky and Tennessee, who makes the biggest impact?
That's a good question, James. I think I would side with Kentucky this year. I think they're set up for a better season.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. And thank you for your time.
And by the way, that is an either-or question because you can argue very easily for Tennessee. I'm excited by Tennessee. I did an interview earlier today, and the guy thought I was getting carried away by my love of Tennessee. I was with Bobby Bones, who's a famous Arkansas aficionado, in addition to being the number one person in country music radio. Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Ron.
Good afternoon.
Ron, it's so nice to hear from you.
I wanted to talk with Paul about his interview yesterday.
Yes, Ron, sure.
Is Paul in today?
Ron, this is Paul. You're talking to him right now.
All right. Well, I thought that was the most effective interview of a sports personality that I've ever witnessed on TV. I'm 80 years old, be 80 years old in November, but I think of all the years that I've heard, that was the single best sports interview that I've ever heard.
Well, Ron, we have had many conversations over the years. That is very gratifying, and I'm glad you said that because there are a lot of things I'm passionate about, but I have been very passionate in recent years defending Stephen A. Smith, and I make no bones about the fact that we've been friends, have spent a lot of time together, and I feel like he is not only the most polarizing person on television, but he's also one of the most misunderstood. And by talking to him the other day here, I felt people got a better understanding of why he is the way he is in terms of his background, and I'm particularly pleased to hear you say that.
Absolutely. And if he did run for president, I think I would vote for him.
Well, Ron, right now, as you know, politics are much different than the way they used to be.
That's right.
And you almost need to have a big personality to get the attention of people. And I'm
yes.
People have accused me saying, "Why that was a setup." That was not a setup. He was talking about his book. He was talking about his mother. The things that you heard, and he went off on this political discourse. And I just felt, hey. Would you consider running? I'm not surprised by his answer, but I was also gratified to hear what he said. Hey, Ron, thank you very, very much for the call. You take care of yourself. I know you're having a tough time. We'll take a break. Another guy that may run for public office one day, Roman Harper, or he may get run out of town. I'm not sure which.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We're here with Roman Harper. He in the fuchsia sport coat.
Great call, Paul. It is not purple. It is fuchsia. Thank you.
I sit in amazement at your clothes.
Well, I told you before the break, I said what you need to do is get out of Nick Saban's closet, because I know you've been there, and come on over to me. I got what you need. And he's like, oh, I can't afford that. I'm like, yes, you can. And I got the deal. I got the hookup coming over.
So who is this guy?
This is Fellow. This is a suit company. Fellow Menswear out of New Orleans, Louisiana. Okay. Shout out to Fellow.
So you can follow them at Fellow Menswear. I should have gone by to see them.
You should have. I mean, if not, let me know. I got them on speed dial, and they give me great prices.
I mean, here's the problem.
They want to measure you too, Paul. You can't just like buy off the rack.
There is no
rack.
I did that once, and after the guy said, you're going to have to come back. I said, I'm done with this guy. I'll go to the mall and buy my suits.
Well, Paul, I'll lift a little bit more weight, so it's like I want my suit to fit.
But here's the problem, though. I
grew up,
we didn't have a lot, not that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And we would walk, and my mother would take me to the store. And it was, the first question she would ask the salesperson, what do you got on sale?
Yeah.
And I'm like going, that's not the best. I mean, that immediately sends a flare up. These people aren't spending money.
That, or when you get everything, and I know people still do it, but it's like layaway was a huge thing,
too. I remember.
Layaway was like, now, Roman, that was the only way you knew you were going to get
about
something.
What you don't know about me is in high school and throughout college, I sold suits at a big department store.
I did not know
this. I knew layaway because I worked in a downtown store, and you would cut, and a lot of people put stuff on layaway, including my mother. So now that you're Roman Harper, when you deal with these guys in New Orleans, I mean, do you ever ask what it costs, or is that déclassé?
I just tell them throw it in the bag. Actually, I don't look at the price. I don't. Conversation.
Randy,
because
wouldn't that be nice to walk in? You know, go to your guy and never say. When I walk in the store while the salesperson turns his head, I'm looking at the price.
Well,
I mean, don't you?
Well, first of all, I'm not looking at suits. I'm looking at fabrics.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so that's another thing.
Me.
It's like,
ooh.
It's different, Paul. I mean, sorry. I mean, I don't want to. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just being honest.
Honest. Since I know suits, I'm walking in there and I'm feeling around. It's usually right here. I mean, I'm flipping and go, oh, okay. $600? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, mine don't come with the tag on the sleeve.
So tell the audience this, because we all want to know. What's something like that cost?
It just depends on the fabric.
You see the bill eventually, don't you?
Yes, I do. So, I mean, I can get anywhere. I mean, I'm not going to tell them my price because I don't pay the normal price.
I'm not asking. What's it cost for a schmo like me?
Well, a schmo like you is going to get my price.
Oh, okay.
All right, because I'm bringing in this good service, so we're going to make sure you get taken care of, Paul. Okay. So, you know, we'll be good. Let's talk about this off air. We're not going to put numbers out there about my people.
I mean, we're talking a lot of money?
No, maybe. It depends on who you're talking to. I don't think so in Paul Feinbaum's.
But I mean, you walk in instance. There though. It's not the fuchsia sport coat. It's the tie. It's the pocket square.
No. All that is all separate. That's my own creative touch. I do on everything. So I just buy suits from them, and everything else is my own. I go
Final
and get.
Final question. We'll get
my
to football.
Own, my own swag.
What's the most you've ever spent on a suit?
That was actually probably my rookie year. I bought like 6 or 7 suits as a rookie, and probably spent upwards of $10,000-$12,000. Because I got shirts, I got pocket squares, I got shoes. I actually had a pair of alligator shoes with the eyes on them, like on the sides of the head, the shoes.
What do those cost?
I mean, probably $500-$600. This was all like, you know, it cost to be in the league.
You spent $500 on a pair of shoes?
Yeah, that I probably wore six times.
I'm wearing tennis shoes right now.
Paul, this is when I was, 22, 23 years old. You get a little bit of money. You say, hey, I got to pay
and
pay.
Tie, that's not cost like a $25 tie you get online.
This is probably not a $25 tie that I got online. No.
I'm pretty upset.
I don't understand why, Paul. Look, at the end of the day, I like to feel good. It's the same thing I did when I was a football player. You look good, you play good. You feel good, you're going to play good. So all these things kind of go into my whole mental where I've been wearing nice suits since I was in the league.
Do you replenish them?
I do. I replenish quite often. And I got a couple that I probably have to do like one and done.
I got this suit here when Mike Shula was coaching at Alabama.
I mean, I don't understand how the fit is the same. I had suits in college that there's no way in the world I could wear those.
When do you move on from a suit?
I usually pass them down to my brothers, or I
know your brother,
or I leave them alone or something like that. Not my oldest brother. That's the one you know. I got another older brother, but
Similar. We've gone on too long because you really aren't telling me the real price.
I'm not going to tell you the price. What do you want to know?
What's the most expensive thing you've ever bought for yourself?
A car.
How much?
Probably about $110, $120.
What?
Yeah, it was.
110?
I'll tell you this story. It's a great story. So I got drafted on
110?
Saturday. I got drafted on Saturday, second round, 43rd overall. I called my financial guy. And because I don't even think I'd had an agent by then. I called my financial guy and I said, you know what?
You went to Alabama. I guarantee you had an agent.
This is so true. So then I said, you know what I want? I said, I want a 2-door convertible. So I bought an SL550 that I still drive to this day. It's my baby. I'll never get rid of it.
110?
Yeah, it was like a little bit over that with tax. And so I told him, he said I could afford it according to where I got drafted at. So I got drafted on Saturday, and they dropped it off in my car from Kansas City, Missouri, on Thursday. And I drove straight to Tuscaloosa with the top down. That happened.
What about the cars you had at Alabama?
I had the same Tahoe, 4-door Tahoe. Why are we going into this? This does not matter.
If I came to you and said, please, I need to see the receipt for that Tahoe.
That's fine. You know what? My parents paid for that. Yes.
Or do they just tell you which lot to pick it up on?
So actually, because of the big play I made against Tennessee my senior year, the Daniel Moore painting, I signed about 20-something thousand, maybe not that many, like a lot. It was close to 15,000 to 20,000. This was 2006, right before I got drafted. I did an autograph signing.
Time.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they paid me about $25,000-$30,000, and that actually I took 6 or 7 of that and paid off my car. Okay. From that my parents had, Paul.
Okay.
Not Alabama, but my parents paid for it, for all those naysayers.
So let's get
there.
To football for just a second.
Yeah, that's all we're going to talk about.
We'll see you every weekend, every Friday.
They don't care about my football talk. Look at my suit.
I mean, you're making a lot of crazy calls, and I mean crazy. You were here a couple weeks ago, and you're all the, what was it, the wild prediction?
You do not believe in Tennessee. I don't know why they accept you as one of their own.
But I don't believe Tennessee's going 11-1.
I don't think so either. I said 10-2.
Oh, excuse me.
That is a big difference. Well, 10-2 versus 11-1 is a big difference. 11-1 have them winning the SEC East. I still think Georgia wins the SEC East. They're a more complete team. I just have that Tennessee's going to beat either Alabama or Georgia. It just sets up this way this year. That's what college football is. I think Alabama's a better team than Georgia, so they'll upset Georgia. I know it's at home. I don't really care. I think this is going to happen, and I'm calling it right now.
Tennessee, talking season. Tennessee goes
so
to
if Tennessee goes off and starts off terrible in the football season, I'm clearly able to change my mind.
I don't want
to
hear that.
You know,
Tennessee goes to Athens and wins the game. That's what you're calling it right here.
Yes.
Don't be so shy about it. We're going to replay this 100 times.
1,000%, and it's okay. I live with that. This is what I stand up for. I made a couple wrong calls, but I had way more good calls last year than I did wrong calls. And the ones that I was wrong about, I stand up for. As a matter of fact, the only one they really got me on is when I said South Carolina would beat Clemson. What I did not show the rest of the world was that I actually motivated Clemson. I had Dabo. I got tape of Dabo Sweeney showing me in their team media room to say. I'm motivating everybody.
That's not the way the game is played, Roman.
That's not it.
You predicted Clemson to lose by 28 points.
Double digits. It was 10 points.
I thought it was 28, but it could have been double digits.
It's okay.
And now
Don't sacrifice the truth for a good story.
Clemson won the game by how many guys? 28.
It was a blowout.
I think they won by 28. Maybe that's what I meant to say. And now you're claiming, well, you actually motivated them by picking South Carolina.
Yes, I did. I did. I will take complete credit.
You sound
credit.
Like one of these handicappers. I once had a guy back when I was in Birmingham. It was 30-0, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This shyster guy. We had a morning show when I was in Birmingham, and he picked. Let's say Tennessee, Alabama. He said, I like Tennessee plus 11 against Alabama. He came on our show that afternoon. He goes, I like Alabama. I said, hold on a second. You picked. And this guy goes, I'm paying to be on here. I said, I don't care what you're paying. You just call both sides of it. You can't do that. And you're now trying to claim your prediction wasn't really that wrong. Because you motivated the other team to win.
No, I was dead wrong on my prediction. I just didn't realize that people actually pay that close attention to where now I'm going to be in their team rooms and they're going to be using me as motivation.
So Dabo used that as a motivation?
There's no question. He said, this is exactly what these people think about you. This is, look at what it is. Are you going to allow them to talk about you like that? And it gets them all riled up and get them some going. And hey, congratulations to Clemson on a great win last year.
30-0.
I mean, that's what it shows your strength.
30-0.
Great job.
And you
played one of their best games all year.
You picked the other side by double digits. So that means you missed this game by a minimum of 40 points.
That is correct. But I could have changed my mind on Thursday after I saw the tape. After I saw them motivating them. I didn't see anything coming out of Carolina. I didn't see anything. But it's okay. I stuck with it because I'm a man of my word.
Okay. What size shoe do you wear?
It's custom, Paul. It's Roman Harper. I don't know what else you want. Yeah, the size of Roman Harper.
I mean, is there any chance I could get some of the old stuff?
I mean, yeah, the old stuff's probably a little bit bigger, Paul. I don't know.
I could go to
You don't want that. You don't want that. Just come on home, Paul. Come on over to Death Row. We're going to hook you up.
Okay.
We got you. Come on over. We're going to get you custom name. It's going to be Paul the Goat inside.
When I open it, it's going to.
Yeah, you're going to have the inner lining. You're going to have all of those things, Paul. I got you, man. Trust me. Just let me pick it for you.
You got it. See you next week.
There it is. Next week. We starting it on the road, huh?
We are. We're back.
I can't wait.
I'm going to go out and buy something new.
No, he's not.
I'm going to drive up in my new car, $110,000 model.
Utah or Florida?
What you got?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, we just had Pete Thamel here a minute ago.
And I love. He does a great job.
He thinks Utah could be a Final Four team.
So you're taking Utah?
Well, right now I would, but as you know, the fact that I said that, it could motivate Florida. So. We'll be right back. Thanks. Thank you, Roman.
That's so good.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back here on a Thursday afternoon. JK is up next.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, JK.
Hey, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, but I want to, I got to say thank you for yesterday's show. You brought back the Kings of Comedy yesterday. First off, you had the preacher. He did his worst impression of Joel Osteen yesterday. And then you had the second comedian, Jim from Tuscaloosa. He said Christians told him he was the best judge of character. I wonder, did they judge him? And third, and least of last, or last but not least, or just the least, Black Hat Baby, I want to be the coach at Alabama. Paul, I know it's not funny, but I'm going to laugh anyway. Paul, don't this dude know that he can't get a job because they do background checks? Bama's not going to hire you to be their coach or anything else. The only thing he good at is going to that dog track and scooping up dog poop, Gary. JK out, baby.
Wow. Jeff is in from Columbus. So hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we are doing great. Thank you.
What was that last call all about, Paul? Who was that? JK?
Yeah, he was calling about Jim and Legend from yesterday.
I mean, that was a bizarre-sounding call to me. Hey, Paul, it sounds like all the big national media guys are going to be in Seabrook for that Notre Dame game, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not even a doubt. That's the biggest game of the day. Everyone who matters will be there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're all rolling in. It's going to be jumping here in Seabus next weekend.
You got Pete Tamble.
Paul, you know,
what else could you want?
No, not much. I don't know why you're not coming up.
I'm not. I don't rate that game. I'm sent elsewhere.
Well, if you decide to make things happen, come up. I'll get you a ticket. You and I will sit together.
Well, yeah, but I don't make those choices there, Jeff. I'm a lowly employee. I go where they tell me to go.
Hey, Paul, if you want to get this radio show jumping and popping again like the good old days, could I make a suggestion for you?
Yeah, we need to get this thing going because it's on its last leg.
It's hit and miss.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, you might get one good day a week and then four down days. We got to get this thing popping.
Okay, so Jeff, being the radio connoisseur, you tell us how to make this show great again.
All right. You just had that guy, Roman Harper, on, right?
Right.
Okay. He's like a lot of these so-called experts that come in on your show, Paul. They sound awfully arrogant and cocky with their knowledge and stuff like that. Why don't you get like a panel of three or four callers, including myself, and we get a segment where we can Q&A them and break it down with them and let them know when we think they're wrong. Because, I mean, you're playing two-hand touch with these guys, Paul. We want to play bump and run with them. Challenge these guys. See what they got. I mean, these guys think they're – I've never heard people so cocky in my life as some of these guests.
Well, Jeff,
what do you think of that?
I mean, these are former players. I mean, they've earned the right to offer an opinion.
Well, I know it, but why can't some good fans, knowledgeable fans, question them? I mean, it gets ridiculous how arrogant and cocky they are.
I've never understood what – I mean, you know, you love Herb Street because he played quarterback at the Ohio State. But
no, I
else,
like Herbie
but
because
else
he,
you
because
think
he
is
shoots
a clown.
Straight.
I mean, what gives here?
Well, because Herbie shoots straight. He doesn't try
oh,
to
oh,
– and Herbie
– I mean, hold on a second. I'd like to hear more about that. So Herbie shoots straight and nobody
well,
else
like
does?
Well, like Harper and these guys –
tell us more about Herbie shooting straight.
Well, he doesn't come off as like a – he's more of an analyst. He's not trying to come across as he's this big-time expert that these guys
oh, really? Yeah, have you ever
act
watched
like
him
they're
on,
never
have you ever
wrong.
Watched him on game day?
Oh, yeah.
He's an expert on everything. Hold on a second. Can we – let's go ahead and flip the other – you have a friend that would like to say hello to you.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, it's me. Jeff, it's me. We're you know, your teammate. Are you ready?
Well, don't you agree with me? These guys need to be challenged.
Well, let me answer. Number one, I don't agree with your buddy Herbie. I think he's horrible, and Paul knows that. He even blocked me one time because I criticized him. He's a goober. He never was a great player. I don't like him. I'm sorry, Jeff. All Ohio Staters are not great.
Doesn't bother me.
What?
Doesn't bother me that you don't like him. I'm just talking about
these
guys.
Let me say something about I want to compliment this guy, JK. He bashes me all the time, and I've bashed him, but he had a good call a while ago, even though he included me. I liked what he said. He was two out of three, and two out of three ain't bad on what he got right in his call a while ago. He's a pretty good caller sometimes. You know, today he was a good caller. But, Jeff, I agree with
well,
you.
That's
I agree
fine,
with you,
I also,
Paul. I agree with him. Wait a minute, Jeff. Let me say this. I agree with Jeff that you need to confront these players. That would be a great segment or a great thing to happen on this show. It would really broaden this show is to do what Jeff is suggesting be done, to confront these players that have nothing but what they got to say. You know, y'all confront me all the time, Paul. You confront Jeff. You
exactly.
confront the callers. What?
I said exactly.
Well, you know, you see what I'm saying, Paul? I think Jeff's got a tremendous point that would be a great asset to the show.
Listen, I appreciate Jeff. I mean, but Jeff's always the ombudsman in the room. He's always criticizing the networks as long as unless those people went to Ohio State.
Hey, but why can't we challenge these guys, Paul? I mean, Paul, you should be sponsored by Waffle
Jim,
House the way you waffle around
Jeff,
with these guys.
First of all, I am a talk show host. I'm not a prosecutor. These men and women come on here as guests, and I try to treat them with respect.
Well, why don't you? That's what I'm saying.
Paul, I'll tell you this right now. I'm not shy about bragging. I think you got two Hall of Fame callers on the line with you right now, suggesting something that's good, and I know you're smart enough to recognize what's good for the show. It would be good for the show instead of having these people come on here like they do, oh, this is that, and you know, somebody said the other day.
I mean, Jim, the people we have on here are the best in the business.
And the business ain't doing too good, Paul.
When they're wrong. I don't care about what kind of suits the guys wear. I want to know when they're right or wrong, and then they dance around like, oh, I didn't really mean all that. I didn't mean that. You know, I was just trying to pump up the other team, that kind of stuff. You know,
he's making sense, Paul. He's making sense, Paul. Jeff's a smart guy. He's making sense.
Yeah.
I mean, get Craneworks back and sponsor that segment, Paul.
Well,
here's the thing, though, Jeff. And Paul knows. I understand. I know what's going on. If Paul does that, he's going to get in trouble with the guests. That's how it works. so he's afraid to do it. That's bottom line, Jeff.
Yeah.
I hate to break up the tea party, but we need to go to a break.
He won't have any more guests on.
With much, much more right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Davis is up next in Wisconsin. Good afternoon, David. Thanks for giving us a call.
G/D, Father. Jeff from Sir Francis Drake. I don't call in and talk about Wisconsin volleyball. I enjoy HARP. Anyway, you were talking about layaway. I grew up in Hawaii, and I once put a pineapple on layaway.
I have never heard that before.
We got you covered.
Yeah, for those who don't know what layaway is, I don't think you do it anymore, but you would go to a store and buy something. Now, my question is, you would put money down. Did you get to take it home, or did you have – okay, so let's say you bought a suit. Suit cost $145. You would put down $50, and you'd come back next week when you got paid and put down maybe another $35, and ultimately you were able to reserve the suit and then pay it off, and then when you pay it off, you get to take it home. I used to do it all the time. With my mother. Daryl is up next. Hello, Daryl. Good afternoon.
I hate to say it, but I agree with Jim and Jill, but that's never going to happen, okay? Never is Paul Feinbaum going to let callers put guests on the spot and belittle them. It's not going to happen, right?
Well, it happened, Daryl, if you remember, we did this many years ago. Gary Danielson was on our show every week, and he took calls. And Jim just destroyed him so badly that he never wanted to come back.
But you know what? Let me make a point about what that guy said, okay? I mean, I could have all the money in the world, okay? I would never spend $10,000 on a suit. But that's what they do. They go spend – they play a couple of years in the NFL. They spend $10,000 on a suit. They spend all this money, $100,000 on a car, okay? Then they go out and they buy these alligator shoes. Alligator shoes. Not only did he buy alligator shoes, but he said they had the eyes on the shoes.
I've never heard that before.
I mean, you know what? That's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Well, Darryl,
but here's the deal.
I mean, if you're making millions of dollars and you want to spend a little money, I wouldn't do
fine,
it.
That's fine, Paul, but by the time I hit 30, they're broke, okay? They buy these $50,000
really?
Diamond ring earrings. By the time I hit 30, they're broke.
Roman Harper didn't exactly look broken here a minute ago.
No, he didn't, but I'm just saying. Okay, I'm just making a point.
Darryl, what does that mean? They're broke. I know a lot of former
NFL players who are living
pretty well.
I don't know. I've seen the paper all the time. They said they don't have no more money. Where'd their money go?
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, what's your point?
I know. I mean, I know where it went. It went on $50,000 diamond earrings.
I know plenty of people who didn't play in the NFL who started making a few bucks working at wherever, and – They didn't spend it wisely either.
Well, I mean, you know, it probably pays to spend it wisely. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Well, we're all not as smart as you do.
You know, you go out and blow your money, however you want to do it, you know, whatever. You know, hey, Stephen A. yesterday, after hearing what he had to say, my respect value went up for him. But let me say one thing about that. These guys, these celebrities, Paul, you build them up. I know you all get on TV and all that stuff. They ain't that. It's not like when they walk outside, everybody in the world knows who they are, okay? I guarantee you the majority of people in this country have no idea who Stephen A. is. Only those that are into basketball or something like that. But, I mean,
Maybe you're right, but I have been with Stephen A. Smith in Atlanta. I've been with him in New York. I've been with him in California. And I have never been with anyone who attracts more attention from fans on the street than Stephen A. Smith. I mean, he blows
I've been with you in Columbus. They didn't know who you were.
Those
you
guys
know what I mean?
to smithereens. I mean, there's nobody in his league.
He's not like his Elvis, though, Paul.
Well, there's a reason. There's never been anybody quite like Elvis.
Well, no, there's people out there that's just very more. Donald Trump's one is very. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is, right?
Well, I mean, he was only the president of the United States. Okay, you know what I mean, you're not. You're comparing the president of the United States to a guy who has a talk show.
And the guy picked Tennessee to beat Georgia this year. Really, not going. The same guy that picked South Carolina to beat Clemson. I mean, it's Shane Beamer's first year as a head coach. First year at the school, he thought South Carolina was going to beat Clemson. I mean, really, I mean, dude, not going to happen, okay? Tennessee's not going to beat us in Athens. It's not going to happen. Hey, Paul, I noticed with the neutral site thing, we don't, you know, you kind of knocked it down a little bit. But I remember when Alabama played at neutral sites, it was a great thing then. But now it's somebody like
the last one was
in
1991. Anyway, we're up against a break. Back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.